in sin. No peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary. He'll come through for you, no matter what you're going through. He's always right on time, every time. So in your trying hour, trust in his keeping power. He'll come through for you, that's what he'll do.
He'll come through for you. He'll come through for you. He's always on time. He's everything you need. He's your life. He's your joy. If you don't have him, you really don't have joy. We're coming today with a broadcast that telecast also that is just breathtaking. It got a hold of my heart. I like for things to get a hold of me right down in here. I don't want to come on the radio or go into the pulpit here in the sanctuary until I hear from heaven, until I know God by the Holy Spirit is dealing with me. So today, we're dealing with a 1,000-year period called the Great Millennial Reign. The Great Millennial Reign of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I call it the Golden Kingdom. The 1,000-year golden kingdom, the biblical golden kingdom. We got a one-world order developing out there. But that one-world order is going to end at the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus is coming back in the sky. The Bible says it. We're going to read it in just a moment. And he's going to set up a 1,000-year reign of righteousness and purity and peace. And the instruments of war shall be beat into pruning hooks and instruments of harvest. And this earth is going to be a place of absolute beauty. I don't know whether you understand all that mess out there. It is a mess. And every hour it seems that the world becomes more vicious and evil. Our political leaders have no sense of what time it is, of what part of heavenly plans and programs are in store. They have no sense of that. I can understand why they don't. If you don't believe the Bible, you don't search the Bible, you don't read the Bible, you don't understand it. Last week we talked about Israel and how absolutely if Israel and Jerusalem and the Jews could be eliminated from the sphere of life and from the influence and the power and presence on this earth, the Bible would have to be thrown away. It'd be fraud. It ended nothing but an ash heap. But I'm going to tell you something. This book's not going to be changed. This book's not going to be changed. Now, can you imagine 1,000 years of absolute peace? Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. I want to say something, but you've got to understand it or you'll take me wrong. In seven years, the millennial reign could begin. Now, I'm not setting dates. I just know from the moment of that rapture, the rapture of the bride, the seven-year tribulation period that follows, and at the end of the seven years of tribulation period, Jesus returns to fight the battle of Armageddon and sets up the kingdom on this earth. Now, there'll be a little while there of putting everything together, and we will be his kings and his priests, and we will reign with him. And I'm going to take you in the Bible. I'm going to give you both Old and New Testament scriptures about this millennial reign. If I can get you excited about the 7 years could pass quickly with the tribulation period. That'll be horrible years. The rapture will occur first, then the seven-year tribulation period, and then we will be in with, if we're saints of God, if we belong to Christ, if we're washed in the blood, living godly lives, I promise you, we'll be part of that wonderful millennial reign. Now, let me read you some things. Let's go. I've got quite a few scriptures I want to read during the process of the program, because I don't want to leave you with any questions. And all you got to do is call if you have questions, and I believe the Lord will help me give you an answer that will satisfy you. Now, let me tell you at the beginning, because the program is going to be a great one, and I think a lot of calls, you can get a wonderful booklet that we have written that is available to you on this millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Call it the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. Millennial means a thousand. Thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. I have a booklet you can call right now, and it's free to you. It is free to you, okay? 1-800-338-7884. Let me say those numbers again. 1-800-338-7884. And then our local number, which is good, of course, anywhere in the world, if you the right number's in front of it. But locally, it's 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Yeah, last week, I forgot to turn the night phone signal off, and a few of you called at the beginning and just got one into the voicemail. I'm sorry for that. I make mistakes. You know, I'm just still human. After all these years of being a Christian, I'm still human. And you are too. So don't say anything about me, okay? We are all humans. And we live by the grace of God. We live by the grace of God. The cross is not something you get saved by and then forget about. The cross is what you live by all the days of your Christian walk and your Christian life. Oh, I love the cross. I love the cross. Hey, I love the cross. We've been in revival this week with Joseph Gans from out in Oklahoma. He's on the road going home right now to be back at his church tomorrow. And what wonderful preaching. Seven audio sermons or seven DVD sermons, whichever you want. They're available. You can call right now. They'll put them in an album and send them to you, and they will bless you. Now, you do have to pay for them. I will give you the booklet, though, and good price, though, on those audios or DVDs. I mean, we just want to bless you. That's really all we're about here, is blessing you and helping you in the Lord. Now, let's go to the Bible. We're talking about the thousand-year the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The thousand-year reign. Do you know most of the church world don't even believe this? They've gone off into crazy stuff. I'm amazed at the dominion theologist. I'm amazed at the post-tribulation views that's believed by much of the church world today. But I've got to tell you, the Bible is true. I don't care what they say. The Bible is true. It isn't what Joe Chambers says. It's what the Bible says. Let me read it to you. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now listen, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. What does that represent? The cross. He comes in the power of his crucifixion. He comes in the power of his sacrifice. He comes in the power of shedding his blood to redeem you and I and this world. He's going to redeem everything the devil has touched. He's going to redeem everything that evil spirits have damaged. He's going to redeem everything that has the smell of sin. Do you hear me? Everything that has the smell of sin. That's why he comes dressed in a vesture dipped in blood. And the name that no man knew but he himself. Now listen, and his name is called the Word of God. Oh, I like that. The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who are those saints that come with him? They are the raptured people that went up in the rapture 7 years earlier. That's what we're waiting for right now, is the rapture. Then the 7 year tribulation period, and then this scripture will be fulfilled. And he will come back riding a white horse. Oh, I can imagine that white stallion, giant, like a giant horse. I mean, and Jesus riding upon him with the word of God proceeding from his very being. Notice what it says. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, with which he should smite the nations with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you say those words with me? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine when that Antichrist, see, the Antichrist will be at the Valley of Megiddo. That's up north of Jerusalem. His city, his capital, Babylon, would have been destroyed by the judgment of God. And then his nations and his kings that rule under the Antichrist will destroy the city of Rome and burn it with fire. And there's three cities that make up the chief things during the tribulation period. That's Babylon and Jerusalem and Rome. Well, Babylon will have been destroyed. Rome will have been burned down to the ground. Jerusalem is still gleaming in the sunlight. And that makes the old Antichrist ferocious, because he hasn't been able to destroy Jerusalem. But then, he's gathered in Megiddo with an army of millions. I mean, armies of the world have come there to fight with him. And they're fixing to destroy Jerusalem, or take it, one or the other. And about the time they're ready to march, something happens in the heavens. And there's a great rumbling. I can imagine that rumbling that's going on up there. It'll be the sound of victory. And Jesus appear riding that white stallion with multi-millions of saints behind him and all the angels of heaven with him. I mean, you're talking about a heavenly march of the greatest powers of divinity, the greatest powers of Almighty God. And when the Antichrist looks up and sees all of that, he freezes with terror, and his whole army is, it will begin to panic, and everything, of course, will turn, and it will be a slaughter like there has never been. I'm here to tell you that it'll be a slaughter that it will take months for the fowls of the air to eat the flesh of the fallen. It's going to be a terrible time, but it's going to be a glorious time, because when Jesus wins that battle, he drives the Antichrist all the way to Babylon, to the gates of his destroyed city. The Antichrist is destroyed, and then Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and he comes to set up his kingdom. Now, if you want to know why the world, and why the Islamists, and why Obama, and why so many are so disturbed about Israel, and about Jerusalem, and the things going on over there, you look at this Bible. Because Jerusalem is the center of that 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Jerusalem is the center of that 1,000 years of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me say that? Jerusalem, the city, the present city of Jerusalem, is the center of that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Now, it will be extended far beyond any understanding. It's at least 60 miles in both east and west, north and south. It will stretch almost from the Mediterranean, Sea, all the way to the Dead Sea. And that whole area will become like a garden. Like a garden. Like a garden. Now, friends, when you go to talking about that millennial reign, and think of this, the saints of God will reign with him. The saints of God. You say, oh, Brother Chambers, let me read it to you. Don't take my word for nothing. And they sung a new song, Revelation 5 and 9. This is just before the 7 year tribulation begins. This is right after the rapture. The saints are with God and with the Father, with the Lord Jesus. And they're all having a time of rejoicing as they're preparing triumphantly for this great victory of the 7 year tribulation period. And they sung a new song. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God, by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and nation, and people. See, the saints are rejoicing. They're in heaven. They're with the Lord. They're with the great God Jehovah around his throne. And hath made us, notice, and they're singing now, and hath made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We, the saints, shall reign on the earth. We'll be the kings and queens, and we'll be the governors, we'll be the councilmen, we'll be the supreme courts, we'll be all of the ruler leadership of this entire earth, and every kingdom will be turned into a righteous kingdom. The Bible says righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You're talking about something triumphant. Why doesn't preachers preach this? Why isn't the church shouting about this? In 7 years, it could begin. Oh, the rapture has to take place before the 7 years begin. You understand that? I'm not talking about 7 years from right now. I'm talking about 7 years from the rapture, which could be before this broadcast ends. Before this telecast is over, the rapture could occur. I was standing on the stage last night as my preacher man was preaching, and then he was anointed by the Spirit, and the anointing of God was in this house, and I felt myself standing there, and I was thinking, what if suddenly I would leave and just rise up into the air? And I almost felt for a moment like I was fixing to go. You say, that's crazy. No, that's not crazy. That's how I want you to live, ready to go at any moment. Much time, ready to go, ready to stay. See, I'm ready to go or stay. I can stay as long as he may wait his coming, as long as he may tarry for the unsaved of the earth, as long as the Holy Spirit is reaching out trying to bring another soul to the cross. That's all God's waiting for, is the harvest of the earth. He's not waiting for Obama. He's not waiting for Putin. And he's not waiting for none of these political people. He's not waiting for the armies of the world to solve all the problems. He's not waiting for anything but souls of men to be right with him. And he's coming. Jesus is coming. The Father will send his Son. And that will be then, from the moment of the rapture, about 7 years. It could be a few weeks of preparation here or there. That's up to God. He doesn't say yea or nay. I just know there's 7 years between the rapture and the return of Christ, approximately. That's the 70th week of Daniel. That's the week that Jesus said the abomination of desolation would be manifest in the middle of that week, in the middle of the 7 years. Anything you want to talk about today, I'm here to talk about it with you, but it must need now to stay on this subject of the millennial reign. Understand now with me how important Jerusalem is. Understand why the Islamists want it, why the Catholics want it, why the Jews want it, why all kinds of wars have been fought over Jerusalem in that center of God's divine revelations. I'm here to tell you, friend, you can then understand why the people who don't know God hate the Jews. People who don't have any understanding of Bible prophecy, they can't stand what the Jewish people represent and their presence there. That's why Obama is out of his mind, ferocious against Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, it's amazing to me, but I understand it because I know the Bible. I understand it because I know the Bible. Now, there's so many exciting things to happen. It is really breathtaking, like the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant has got to be discovered. And you say, when will they discover it? They'll discover it when the War of Gog and Magog occurs. That's when, because there'll be an earthquake in Jerusalem. And I have no question in my mind, the Ark of the Covenant is down under the Temple Mount. That's why the Arabs don't want the Jews to touch it. That's why they don't even want them close by. That's why they stopped some of them that was doing an excavation up under the Temple Mount some years ago, and they found out about it and had to stop it. Some of the Jewish rabbis said they got a glimpse of the Ark of the Covenant. It's down there. I'm convinced. Oh, I can't prove it. I don't need to prove it. It's somewhere, and that's as good a place as any. No, that's the best place for it to possibly be. Everything is in preparation. everything. In the church world, acts like they're on a journey, you know, and they're going to set up the kingdom. They aren't going to set up no kingdom. I don't care what that crowd says. They're not going to set up no kingdom. You let them talk about it. You let them brag about it. We got them down here around the old PTL place. I mean, I don't know how many different churches around down there somewhere have some kind of headquarters. I heard about a new one the other day. What was that one? I'm trying to remember. I really don't remember. But all of them are into something that puts down the rapture, that puts down the tribulation period, and they think they are going to set up the kingdom. I'm telling you, that is the most insane thing I can imagine, is some minister thinking they are going to set up the kingdom. The only one can set that kingdom up is he who comes on that white horse. And he'll be here as soon as that 7 years of the tribulation is over. Now, I want questions because we're going to have a great broadcast. And I just want you to really hear everything that I say, everything we're talking about. You grab your phones, get on the lines, and let's hear what you are saying, okay? I mean, it's a joy to me to come to a broadcast like this, a telecast like this, and really try to stir you up and get you excited about what Jesus is about to do. Do you hear me? Now, the number to call to talk with me, your question. I'm very excited about your question. If you disagree with me, call me, and let's talk about it a minute, okay? Please do that. Please do that. I'm not angry with nobody that disagrees with me. I'm here to tell you, I'm not angry with nobody, period, under no circumstance. So grab your phone and call me, 704-704-391. Notice that, 391-0588. That's the local number right here, all the time, 7 days a week. But it's the number right now. We got two ladies standing by. We have four lines so that you can grab a phone and you can get this free gift, a booklet on the millennial reign. A booklet on the millennial reign, okay? A booklet on the millennial reign, my free gift. I want you to study it. You say, my preacher won't preach about it. Well, let me give you a booklet so you can study about it. You can read the scriptures. You can read the descriptions that lay it out. And I really believe it will be a blessing to you. So grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Now, my toll-free number anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The great millennial reign. Can you imagine 1,000 years of peace on this earth? I mean, the lions and the lambs will lay down together. Oh, do you hear me? The child will play over a crocodile den. I mean, a snake den, and not be harmed. It's going to be a time of perfect peace and harmony and joy. Hey, grab your phone and call. The ladies are standing by. I want to answer your question. As far as I'm concerned, I could not bring you a better subject. I really couldn't. It's most exciting. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers, yes. Could you tell us when exactly the millennial, where to be placed at as far as the Bible's concerned?
When the millennial time will come?
Yes, sir.
Well, there has to be the rapture. You understand that? The rapture occurs first. That's the next thing we're waiting for. The war of Gog and Magog will be before the rapture or after the rapture, one of the two, but somewhere connected about the same time. Then there's a 7-year tribulation period. 7 years. That's the seventh week of Daniel. Jesus authenticated that in Matthew 24. We know that's a period of judgment when the Antichrist will be revealed, and he'll have 7 years. At the end of the 7 years is when he gathers his armies in Megiddo. Megiddo, that's up north of Jerusalem, and he's ready to march on Jerusalem because of his anger and ferocious emotions against Jerusalem and the Jews. And as he prepares to march, Jesus appears in the heavens. That's when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom on the earth. He brings the saints with him, the angels are with him, and he comes and defeats the Antichrist, and that's when the Antichrist and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And then as the judgment continues, the devil will be put in a bottomless pit to stay there 1,000 years while we have a time of peace on this earth. Now, do you understand that?
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I reckon where I get a little bit confused is if the church is going to be caught away, and then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. After that 1,000 years of rain, then the devil's going to loose their little season and go up on the breadth of the earth and compass the camp of the saints. If they caught away.
Well, then, do you talk about this is the end of the 1,000 years? We're not talking about the rapture that occurs before the 7 years. This is 1,007 years after the rapture. There will be natural people living on the earth for 1,000 years. The saints will be here ruling, but natural people will live and give birth to children and multiply. And those are the people the devil has been in the bottomless pit. They've never been tempted. And so the devil is loosed at the end of the 7 years to give those people who were born during the 1,000 years a chance to decide either for the devil or for Jesus.
Okay.
Do you understand? The reason the devil is loosed is because God is fair to everybody. And nobody can enter into eternity, his new heaven, his new earth, and new Jerusalem that haven't had a chance to make a decision for Christ are against Christ. And so this is where the people born during that 1,000 years will be given a chance to make a choice. Is it Christ or is it the devil?
So it's not going to be only Christians living here during the 1,000 years.
You're exactly right. It's going to be the Christians, the raptured saints, not just Christians, but the raptured saints will come back with Christ and they will rule with him. I read that a while ago from chapter 5 of Revelation. Says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him. We are going to reign. That means we rule the earth. We help him rule this earth in righteousness. There won't be no jealous people. There won't be no money-hungry people in positions of authority. They will all be glorified saints. But the natural people will live under those saints of God, and they will do what natural people do today, except there'll be no devil. They will. Some of them will refuse to obey God and be ready to take a stand against him at the end of the 1,000 years. But many of them will come to Christ, and it'll be a wonderful time of the move of the Holy Spirit all over this earth during that 1,000 years.
Okay. All right, then. Hey, I appreciate it.
Do you understand it now?
I understand a little bit better, yes, sir.
Thank you. Keep listening. I'm delighted, my friend. Now, you grab your phone and call us. I don't want anybody not to understand this great millennial reign. It is one of the most exciting times in the Bible. There's been 6,000 years since God created this earth. The 7,000 is the year of rest, or the years of rest. And so I just believe, just like there's a Sabbath day right now, every seventh day, the seventh year has to be the year of Christ. It has to be his time of reigning. The millennial Sabbath, we could call it. The golden kingdom, the Sabbath millennial. Oh, it's coming, friend. The Bible is just full of it. You've got all kinds of wonderful scriptures. Let me see if I can read you. Let me go to Revelation 20. I like these verses. Revelation 20. The Bible is such a marvelous book. I don't know whether you love this Bible like I do or not, but I love this holy book. It really thrills my soul to live in it and to search it. And it says, I saw thrones. This is Revelation 27. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness which had worshipped the beast. And he tells about their judgment. But then he goes on and says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second hath no power. The second death has no power. Friend, I'm here to tell you, we've got some exciting things ahead of us, and you need to learn about them. You need to learn about them. Let's take a moment here. Revelation 19:20. Somebody has a question here. Let me see 19:20. Get it in front of me. All right, 19:20. Here's the question. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire, where they will be burning with brimstone and fire eternally. I mean, this eternal fire is a place forever. Do you understand that? It's a place forever. So, hope I answered that question. I presume that was it. What does the Antichrist and false prophet live? Where do they live during the 1,000 years? Wait a minute, read that again. Where does the Antichrist and false prophet live during the 1,000-year reign? Well, they're in the lake of fire. I just read it. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet wrought miracles, and says they both were cast into the lake of fire with brimstone. With brimstone. The lake of fire burning with brimstone. Okay? So they live in the lake of fire. They in judgment. Forever, not just the 1,000 years, my dear friend, not just the 1,000 years. Well, want your question? I'm looking to see if there's been any more. No, so send your question, jrc@paulcreek.org, J-R-C, all little letters, at paulcreek, PAWCREEK.org. Please send them very carefully to that address, and I will answer them right here on the air. Now, the lines are open. The phones are ringing, but I want your question about this great millennial reign. How many of you, look at me, how many of you, stop now, everything you're doing. Let me ask you this question. How many of you are making preparation to reign with Christ on this earth 1,000 years? I'm here to tell you, there won't be no greedy people. There won't be no people moved and filled with jealousy. There won't be no dark people of evil, wicked living styles. There won't be no fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals and lesbians. There'll be no thieves and robbers. I'm here to tell you, it'll be a holy people, excuse me, that's caught up in that rapture. All you say, I don't have to live clean to go to heaven. If you live by this Bible and you go to his heaven, you're going to live clean. I'm here to tell you. He didn't save you that you might live in sin. He saved you to deliver you from sin, okay? To make you holy and pure and godly. Now, I want to do my best to get you stirred up so that you start digging in this Bible, reading the study of the Holy Scripture. Let me take you to Isaiah 65:18, okay? Isaiah 65:18. Read you a little bit there to show you how breathtaking this subject is. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not lived his days. For the child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a man are as the days of the people, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall live long and enjoy the work of their hands. Those are natural people that will live long and enjoy the work of their hands during the 1,000 years. The saints, of course, never die again because they have glorified bodies. But the people living on the earth, the natural people, there will still be death. But the life will be extended to a much longer time because of the health. Because of the cleansing of the atmosphere, the burning, destroying rays of the sun. I mean, it'll go back to as it was in the days of Noah when they lived 800 and 900 years old. That's how it will be during the 1,000 years. Hallelujah. I mean, do you get excited? Now, that was in Isaiah 65. Go read it, beginning with verse 18. Brother Chambers, you know, I'm not sure that you're not a little bit wacky. Well, I can understand you calling me that, but I just believe the Bible. Let me read you from Zechariah. Zechariah now. That was Daniel. I'm sorry, Isaiah. I've read from Revelation. I could take you to Matthew. I could take you to John. I could take you to many places in the Bible that talk about this great hope of the millennial reign. If your church don't believe in the millennial reign, please find you a church that does. I'm telling you, I want you to be ready to be part of this. Now grab your phone. I have a free gift for you, the millennial reign of Christ. I want to give it to you so you can study on your own. It's pretty extensive. Put it in your Bible and spend a few days reading and searching all the scriptures. Search everything I say. If you have a question that you think I've missed it, call me and tell me, and I'll try to help you understand, or I'll straighten me out and maybe let you straighten me out if I need that. I don't think I know everything. I think I'm still learning. Now, let me read to you from Zechariah. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. Hey, I want some more calls. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Again, the toll-free, 1-800-338-7884. Okay, got a message on my internet. I'll get to it in a minute after I read the scripture. And again, the internet, jrc@paulcreek.org. Hey, I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I'm preaching on the joy of the Holy Ghost. The Bible is full of scripture about the joy that a Christian is supposed to have. You're not supposed to live an old gloomy life. You're not supposed to live a life of doubt and fear and anticipation of all kinds of dark things. You're supposed to live in peace because God has everything under control. Do you hear me? God has everything under control. You don't have to worry about none of it. God will finish it all. And it will be perfect, I promise you. He doesn't ever fail. Oh, well, before I go to that scripture, let me take this call. I don't want anybody to miss getting their answer. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother James.
Hey.
I've got a question about the millennial reign.
Okay.
Turn to Matthew 25:21.
Matthew 25:21, right? Give me one moment, and I'm almost there. All right, 25:21. What's your question?
Okay, see about middle ways, that verse that says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many." Is that pertaining to the millennial?
All right, now you are in Matthew 25. What verse again?
21.
Gotcha. And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Exactly. He's talking about the saints of God. This is after the rapture. And he's talking about us ruling this earth. And he makes people, everybody will be given a reward according to their labor. Positions of authority, positions of great power will be given according to a man's lifestyle, how he's lived, if he's prepared himself. You know, most of the church, they aren't preparing themselves to be rulers. Most men in our churches are a bunch of wimps that you sit on a pew. You can't get them to witness on the street. You can hardly get them to testify. They aren't prayer warriors. And see, those kind of people can't reign over the earth. The people that reign over this earth are people who prepare themselves to reign over the earth during that period. They're people who gave their best. They didn't only use the talents God gave them. They multiplied their talents until they have more talents. And so that's what he's talking about. And these are the people that he makes rulers over many things.
Yes, and I understand that now. And just please keep up the good work. We're praying for you, and look forward to listening to you every Saturday.
You know, I really love this old way. I really love this old way. And I promise you to be faithful, okay? God bless you, and thank you for calling. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. My name's Finley, and I was told that they had three heavens before you get to the... Yes,
hey, wait a minute. Now, can you say that again and try to be a little plainer? I'm having trouble understanding.
Okay. They said you'll have to go through three passes before you get to heaven.
You have to go through three things before you get to heaven?
Yeah.
What do you got to go through?
Like the first heaven, the third, second heaven.
No, no. You say you got to go through three heavens to get to the real heaven. Are you talking about the fact that there are three heavens? There is the atmosphere above us. That's heaven one. There is a span between that level and the third level, which is where the devil has his kingdom, and then the Father's kingdom is in the third heaven. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
But you don't have to go through them in some kind of way that you do. That's all taken care of by the power of Jesus to redeem us. When the rapture takes place, brother, we'll be there in flat no time.
Yeah.
God bless you, lady. God bless you. You're on the air. May I help you, please? I'm sorry, I thought I saw four fingers, but I may have missed. Let me know, ladies, if there's someone waiting. I want to tell you something. When you think about going up in the rapture, and you think about soaring right through the stratosphere, and going right to the throne of God, and be around that throne doing this great celebration of chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation, and then getting ready to share with him as he judges this earth, 7 years of tribulation, and gets this earth cleaned up. I mean, sin will be judged. Wickedness will be judged. Everything that's wicked and dark and vicious and mean and unlike God and unlike his word and contrary to his book will be judged and destroyed and eliminated. And when we set up his kingdom on this earth, it'll take a little while to get it all in order, because we help him finish the judgment processes, and then we will set up the kingdom and reign 1,000 years. That's going to be grand. Now, if I missed a question there, whoever it is I missed, please call quickly. I want you on the line. I don't want nobody to miss getting their answer. Now, while you're calling, remember again to call 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I want to take you to Revelation, and I want to read you a little bit here that really helps us understand. See, it is so important that we have this and understand it. I'm trying to make sure I'm taking you where I was supposed to go to Zechariah. My little brain there. You know how it is when you've got a peanut brain. You don't always have it always straight, but I get there. Zechariah chapter 14, let me read you. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Over all the earth shall be, there shall be one Lord, and his name shall be one. And now, the last three verses of Zechariah, you got to hear this. In that day shall there be upon the bell of the horses, listen, in that day, that's the millennial, shall there be upon the horses bales, and they will say holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see them. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. Holiness on the pots and pans. Can you imagine going down the highway? And here's a sign that used to say Budweiser. I used to say some, secular thing. And now it's got holiness unto the Lord. The whole earth is going to be holiness unto the Lord. Now, I know thousands of people who used to be holiness people. They used to live a clean, separated life. The world had no place in them. They didn't dress like the world. They didn't talk like the world. They didn't drink like the world. They didn't live like the world. And now they've compromised. And they think that holiness is in here and has nothing to do with out here. Let me tell you, holiness is inside and outside. It's upside and downside. It's right side and left side. And he said, in that day, there shall be holiness unto the Lord. And I have a message here. Let's take the line, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor Chambers, I'm listening to your program for the first time today. I was driving around and came across the station you're on.
And you never heard me before?
No, sir.
That must be a strange experience.
Well, I'm concerned. I think you made a critical mistake.
Okay, tell me about it.
Talk with you about. You were talking about the creation occurring 6,000 years ago, which I don't have a problem with. My problem is you basically said that you feel like the seventh millennium would be the millennium of rest. Essentially, you were prophesying.
No, I wasn't prophesying. I was giving you my opinion.
Well, whatever the word you want to use. You basically said that would be the millennial kingdom, and you were essentially predicting the coming of Christ, and the Bible says we can, when Christ will come, and the Bible says we can't do that.
Well, I don't do that. Have I said when he's coming?
You said in your comments that you felt like the seventh millennium would be the millennial kingdom.
Well, I believe that. Well, I believe with all my heart the seventh millennial will be the millennial kingdom, and sometime in the future, and sometime close at hand, Jesus is coming.
Listen, you are saying that Christ is going to come in the seventh millennium, and
no, not in the seventh millennial. He comes before it starts.
Well, you were saying that the millennial kingdom will occur. How do you know the millennium won't be 10,000 years from now?
Well, I just believe the Bible, and I believe, remember, I didn't say this had to be. I said this is my opinion. Okay. Now, let's put that aside, because the seventh millennial will be when and after the rapture, and nobody knows when that starts.
I wrote it down in the car. You said this has to be the Sabbath rest of 1,000 years.
That's my opinion.
Okay, but when you say this has to be...
Well, I believe, in my opinion, it has to be.
Aren't you predicting the coming of Jesus?
Yes, I am predicting, but I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I believe he will come very shortly. I believe every sign has been fulfilled. I picked up a Billy Graham magazine a few days ago. No, somebody brought it to me. And Billy Graham and his son said every sign that must occur for Jesus to return has already occurred. We believe he's coming imminently, and I believe he's coming imminently. I'm looking for him today.
You're also affixing a date to his coming back to the earth when you say that the millennial kingdom is going to occur in the next 1,000 or 2,000 years. How do you know it's not going to be 10,000 years down the road?
Because I read the Bible. I read the signs. I see the Jews back in their homeland after nearly 2,000 years. I see everything about the Bible has predicted many things that relate to the end, and every one of them have been fulfilled.
Can you affix a date for the millennium as you did?
No, sir. I cannot fix the exact date.
You said this has to be the Sabbath rest of the earth within the next 1,000 years. We're 6,000 years out from creation. You said the next millennium would be. So are you not predicting that Jesus is going to come in a certain time?
If you want to say I'm predicting it, I will have no struggle with that, because I do believe it. I do not prophesy it. But I'm simply saying I believe we're at the day of the coming of the Lord, the seven-year tribulation period. I believe the Antichrist is already on the scene somewhere. The seven-year tribulation period will start immediately after the rapture. At the end of the rapture, Jesus comes and defeats the Antichrist in Megiddo and then sets up the kingdom. The date all of this will begin, I am not predicting.
Well,
I'm just saying it is imminent. It's at the door. We ought to be ready for it.
If you believe that the Antichrist is alive on the earth already, you are telling people who are listening to you that Christ has to come within a certain length of time.
I'm telling he will probably come within a certain length of time, and I believe he will come.
He has to.
And it's high time we got people ready for the coming of the Lord. Don't you think so?
He has to come quickly if the Antichrist is already alive.
Well, of course he does.
It could be 2,000 more years before he returns, or 5,000 more years.
You see, your problem is you just don't really believe none of this going to happen anyway, do you?
You believe. I believe all of this is going to happen, but you are committing a trespass against the Word of God when you say Christ will come by a certain time. Because Jesus said,
I did not say he will come by a certain. I set no dates. I've said nothing about a certain time. I'm just looking for it any minute. I believe in the imminent coming of Christ, and that you constantly tell people he could come any moment, and that's what I'm saying.
But you were also saying he must come within a certain time frame, and that is
no. I did not say that.
If you say the millennium is going to happen within the next 1,000 years, you are putting a time frame on the coming.
I really believe that we're at the end of it. We're at the hour of his coming. I believe the tribulation period will immediately follow the rapture. Then there will be the seventh thousand years, and I believe we're there. I believe we're right on the verge of all of this happening. But I do not set dates.
Well, it sounds to me like you're doing that.
Well, I understand you feel that way, and I'm not going to argue with you. I want to be your friend, and I hope you enjoy it enough to keep listening, and you call me again, okay?
All righty. Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Hey, you know, we are living in a day when there's a lot of feelings about this business of the coming of the Lord. But I tell you, I believe it's imminent. I really believe it's imminent. What do you think about that call, somebody? Let me hear you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Brother Chambers.
Yes.
Do you hear me now, Brother Chambers?
Yes, I hear you right now. Go ahead, please, quickly.
This gentleman probably was a Presbyterian amillennialist, and I used to be in that in the 50s till I came into...
How does anybody think that it's going to be another 1,000 years with this world in the condition it's in?
Yeah, well, listen, don't worry about people like that. You're on the right track, and I am too, thank God.
Well, I think I'm on the right track, but I that dear man, I'm glad he called. I want everybody, whatever they feel and however they disagree with me, to say it. It don't bother me at all. But I do not predict dates. I do not set dates. I just say imminent. The coming of the Lord is at the door. And my Bible teaches me we're to look for him. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. Unto them that look for him, I'm looking for him. I'm not talking about 100 years from now either. I'm talking about today. I'm looking for him today. Now, if he doesn't come for 20 years and I live to be 90, I'll still be faithfully doing the business of the Lord.
Yes, the amillennialist, he's probably in one of those denominations, and you'll never get through to him.
Friend, believe me, I've had a lot of friends in that category, and I understand. I treat them nice, but I disagree with them, and I do it very plainly.
Yes, yes.
Oh, thank you for calling. I'm glad you called, okay?
Yes, sir.
We want to be a blessing to you. Thank you for calling. Where are we at here now? Let me see. You on the air? May I help you? You on the air? May I help you, please? You on the air? May I help you, please?
Yes, sir.
Are you there? Speak up quickly.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. Anyway, the fellow that was on there next to the last caller.
Yes.
He's mixed up because you're correct. The Bible says exactly what you're saying. It's not you saying it. It's the Word of God that says it.
I think you're right. I'm saying it with all my heart right from the book. I believe it's imminent. I do not set dates. I do not believe in setting dates. But I do believe in setting seasons and times. I believe when you are in a certain season and you see the scripture being fulfilled, then you expect it to happen at any time. You don't set a date even then. But you just look for it. And you warn people, you better get ready. And that's what I'm doing. I'm warning people all over my listening audience. If you're playing games with your spiritual life, you are playing the part of a fool. Get yourself in this Bible and get your heart right with God and live close to him. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yes, sir. How does that boat go on the same-sex marriage in Charlotte?
Well, I won't even get into that. I'll talk about it a little later, okay? Thank you, sir, and God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I believe you're telling the truth about the Bible. Because I'm looking for him too, sir.
You believe in the whole truth of the Bible?
Yeah.
Are you looking for Jesus to come?
Yes.
Any minute?
Yes.
Oh, good. Bless your heart. You have a question?
Yeah, I think it's already been fulfilled because the people fighting over there in Israel to get that land back. And I think that Obama gave the secret away over there, and then he's wanting to fight. Over there.
Okay, thank you for calling, dear sweetheart. Bless your heart, okay? Now, folks, keep listening and keep calling. I love every call. I don't understand sometimes when someone is, you know, the voice is ruffled, and I'm sorry for that. My ears are not as good as they used to be, but I'm doing my best. And I love every one of you and every caller. Thank you. Thank you, little lady, for calling. Thank you, every person. We got 8 minutes, so you need to grab your phone and call quickly. We're talking about the millennial reign. I've got a booklet I'm giving you on the millennial reign so you can dig. I want you to study. I want you to make sure you get this set in your mind. Okay? I want you to make sure you get this set in your mind and you understand this Bible. And I want you to look for Jesus to come. I'm telling you, and I have no qualms with this, if the rapture takes place today, then in 7 years, the millennial reign will begin. And there will be a millennial reign of 1,000 years. I just believe the Bible has been a system perfectly laid out for us. And that 6,000 years will bring us somewhere at the end of the first 6-year period and issue us into the great millennial reign. I don't know the date. I don't know the moment. I do not have a scripture that says that. I just believe that. I believe that's a pattern of the Bible. And I just love the holy book just like it is. Just like it is. Hey, you are on the air. May I help you, please? Oh, let me get the volume up. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're there. May I help you?
Okay, yes. That guy who called was being a devil's advocate.
Well, let's not be too critical of him, okay? I don't like to criticize my callers because I want them to keep listening and keep calling.
Oh, I'm not saying it. Okay, I'll get to the second point. I'm reading the Israeli Post, and Caroline Glick, the title of the article is Obama's War Against Israel.
I know, it's everywhere. Everybody sees it.
Yeah, well, let's say, okay, Fox News.
You know what he did that I just read today? He declassified all of Israel's secret information about their nuclear program that nobody was supposed to know but us as their partner in Israel. And he's declassified it because he wants to open them up to the world and make it dangerous for them.
Oh.
The man is dangerous. Do you hear me? Obama is dangerous. Thank you for calling, dear friend. Let me grab another one here. You on the air. May I help you, please? All right. Did I miss? I may have. Yeah, you on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, hello, Pastor Chambers.
Hey there.
Hey, I love you so much and your whole staff here, and I'm listening to you and I'm praying for you also. And for that man who called you.
Please, let's don't criticize that dear man no more. Okay, thank you. You're a sweetheart lady. I just want those kind of people to call me.
Yeah, well, what I want to say is I meet those kind of people when I'm out shopping. I'm a housewife. When I meet those kind of people and I talk about the rapture to them, they'll say, well, I'm not ready yet. And I say, well, those who aren't looking for him aren't going. And they'll say, well, I've got, you know, I haven't raised my daughter, and I want to see them walk down the aisle, this and that and all that other stuff. But from what I got from the man who you were talking to, he was not ready, and he was trying to tell you that, you know, you were setting a certain date. Nobody wants the Lord to come right now. They don't want him to come, because I've talked to people like that, too. Well, changing the subject, let me tell you, I have sciatica in my leg, so I couldn't sleep last night, so I got up and turned the TV on just to... I happened to get Nightline, and I don't know if you saw that or not, but I just...
I wasn't up at night like you were, sister. I was sleeping.
Ma'am, and so I was sick with sciatica in my leg. So I just looked at it a little bit, and I couldn't believe the young people in our high school are out there in Florida.
Oh, you're talking about what's going on down in Florida, aren't you?
Ma'am?
It's terrible.
Yes, yes, and I heard the girls, when she says, what was your mother think about you if you were here? She said the word F.
Yeah, I've had three people tell me about that girl.
And it broke me, my heart in two, and I began crying.
Broke your heart, didn't it?
I want to tell everybody to tell that man that he needs to get ready because the Lord's coming soon. I don't know the day or the hour, but by these signs we shall know he's coming.
Yes, he's coming. Let me go here. I got to go. You're a sweetheart. I'm glad every person who's called me today has called me. I may have time for one more call, so grab your phone a quick, okay? I've got all kinds of calls on the internet that I haven't got to. Listen, the millennial reign could begin in 7 years. In 7 years. Now remember, got to be a rapture. And got to be the 7-year tribulation period. I'm setting no dates. I'm telling you, the rapture is imminent. I don't know when it's going to occur. It could be 10 years. It could be 20 years. I doubt it. I think the fulfillment of Scripture is so complete and so perfect. Everything is ready. The Middle East is explosive. And the war of Gog and Magog could start at any moment. The rapture may actually occur before that war of Gog and Magog. We are living on the verge. Now, friend, if you haven't called and got this booklet on the millennial, I want you to get it. We may next week talk about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Because that's got to be found, and that's probably under the temple in Jerusalem. Do you understand why Jerusalem is such a hot fire thing, such a hot issue? Because it's the center of what's fixing to happen. That's the place where Jesus comes to begin the setting up of the kingdom. He will reign from Jerusalem. I'm talking about literal, natural, earthly Jerusalem. Oh, it'll be extended. It'll be a city like it's never been. It'll cover so much territory. Even the mountains there will fall down and descend down on a level plain, and the whole area will become a lush garden, a garden during the thousand-year millennial reign. Brother, we got things waiting for us that are breathtaking. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Hello, Brother Chambers. This is Otto.
Yes, Otto.
Hey, well, one thing that I was thinking about, the Chambers, we have to be ready at any time. Let's say the rapture doesn't happen for a year or two or three. The Lord can say, this is your day today, and this is your last
you can. That's right. You can leave here any moment, can't you?
We have to be ready now. God bless you.
Hey, well, did I treat that everybody right?
Oh, man, I'm learning.
And I'm not setting dates, am I?
I understand.
I don't set dates. I just want people to know it is any moment. Thank you, Otto. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, please.
You have to go quickly. I don't have but a little time.
I just want to let you know spiritually, I hear wedding music, and I know what the wedding music is, and I believe it's where we are about to be raptured for the bridegroom.
Hallelujah. I believe it's any moment. I'm looking for it. It's going to occur, and I can hardly wait. I'm telling you, I'm ready to go. I want to go. I want to go. I'm looking for Jesus to come. It is exciting. It is exciting. Amen?
Anyway,
are you excited? Are you excited?
Excited. I am excited.
Hey, God bless your heart. God bless your heart. I love you. Hey, this has been a broadcast. I love it when it's like this. I really do. I want it to be ripping and roaring, and I want you to be blessed, and I want you to get excited about living by this Bible. Now, I haven't got to so much. But, oh, let me tell you, it's soon. When the Holy Ghost spoke to me Thursday morning that this would be the theme for today, I'm telling you, I felt like going up in the rapture right then. Now, I don't set dates. You know me that good. I've never set dates. But I'm telling you, I believe we're right there. Oh, I believe we're right there. I believe it's time for the King to come. And I'm praying for men and women all over this sphere to get themselves ready for the sounding of the trumpet. Hey, I'd love to have you in church in the morning. I'm preaching. Listen, I'm preaching on the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I'm excited about my sermon. Please call now and get this booklet on the millennial reign. The ladies are standing by, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. God bless you.